You're listening to Real World News. Energy and climate change.
Free trade avoids solutions to the climate crisis. Under free trade, the environment does not matter, because what matters is how much profit you get. If you can't get them by investing little money, it does not matter whether your industry is extremely dirty, if it displaces local communities or ruins an entire forest. This is the explanation of the link between climate and trade, a focus on the Global South's Mary Lou Malik. She told Real World Radio that free trade has definitely contributed to speeding up the climate crisis. Focus on the Global South is a non-governmental organization based in Thailand with offices in Philippines and India. The organization does research, advisory, and capacity building in grassroots organizations. It aims to have critical analysis and promote debates on national and international policies related with the corporate-led globalization, neoliberalism, and militarism. Mary Lou Malik said free trade is also avoiding solutions to the climate crisis. We now listen to the interview.
Real World Radio is interviewing Mary Lou Malik from Focus on the Global South. Mary Lou has just arrived yesterday in a caravan. You came by France, if I'm not mistaken. This caravan called the Trade and Climate Justice Caravan. Tell us, Mary Lou, what about this experience? What did you do exactly?
Yes, we started in Geneva because we were protesting against the Doha Development Round. We were ensuring that the round does not move, and we were calling for an end to the World Trade Organization, especially because this was 10 years after Seattle. This was a very important moment for us to make sure that all of us from around the world make our voices heard, that we don't want any more the rules of the World Trade Organization. We don't want the unfair trade. We don't want the Doha Development Round, which does not give development at all for developing countries. And then after Geneva, after the 7th Ministerial, we left Geneva on December 3. Then we went through different cities in France, then Belgium, then Germany, then finally Copenhagen. And we had many stops in different cities. We did actions. We met with the French Senate. We met with the European Parliament. We did an action outside the European Commission. We did some public meetings in Hamburg. And it was a fantastic experience because it was not only us, many movements from the South. There were 60 activists from the South in this caravan. And then also movements, representatives of movements from the north. And it was not only that, one, we experienced this great moment of solidarity between movements from the south and the north and of different kinds. There were fisher folk, farmers, indigenous people, all of us sharing our different experiences. But more than that, we also met with a lot of groups and activists and movements in the different stops, and we did actions together with them, and that was really a fantastic moment because all of us coming together demanding for an end to free trade, demanding for climate justice, demanding for real solutions to the climate crisis that is outside the market, that is outside the system of free trade. And it was for 6 days of travel, and we were hosted by families in the different cities, and it was such a wonderful experience to also make these personal connections with different activists from different cultures and experiences, and it was really overall a really wonderful experience. But also, we all learned a lot from each other. We learned a lot about each other's struggles, each other's strategies and tactics and analysis. And overall, I think that everybody in the caravan felt much richer after the caravan arrived here in Copenhagen.
Yeah, and the other bus did the German route,
yes,
and they went through different German cities, and I knew also that they did a demonstration against, for example, against the European Central Bank. What do you know about that?
Yes, I know that when the two buses met in Hamburg, and we had a little bit of sharing and also felt that we hadn't seen each other for a long time since we left Geneva, but so we were all very busy trying to tell each other what we had done, in our different stops, and what I heard from them was that they did a fantastic mobilization against this ban, and also calling on the corporate criminals, the climate criminals, which means that we want to highlight the role of the corporations and the banks in this climate crisis. And also for us, we also did an action in Monsanto, for example, in Brussels. So again, another climate criminal.
Which are the links for you, Marilu, between trade and climate change?
First of all, I think that they're not only linked, they come hand in hand. Free trade has exacerbated the climate crisis because free trade, the whole model of free trade pushes the world to its limits. It pushes the planet's capacity because it extracts resources, it depletes natural resources, it mines, it logs, and it's all very intensive industries that have been depleting natural resources and then doing this in a very unsustainable manner. And under free trade, there's the environment doesn't matter because what matters is the bottom line, your profit. How much profit you make, how cheap you can make this, how so it doesn't matter if your industry is extremely dirty, if it displaces local communities, if it ruins an entire forest or jungle or mountains. So that definitely free trade has contributed to the acceleration of the climate crisis. Then on the at the same time, free trade is also preventing solutions to the climate crisis. So, for example, you have under the World Trade Organization, the TRIPS, which is the trade-related intellectual property rights, and because of this, under TRIPS, you have patents, and developed countries and corporations have put patents on clean technologies. And under the Kyoto Protocol, these clean technologies should be transferred for free to developing countries as a commitment from the North. But under the WTO, these technologies are no longer free. Instead, they're extremely expensive because of the patents. And so instead of developing countries being able to access clean technologies, to be able to use them in their country, they are not able to access it because they can't afford it. So this is one clear example of how WTO rules prevent solutions to the climate crisis. Then also you have solutions that are based on the market, because the whole principle of these solutions is that if you pay enough money, then it will solve something. And so this operates on a really dangerous principle, because basically corporations and developed countries are all just saying, okay, we just put more and more money on this thing and then it will make the climate crisis go away, which is really the wrong principle to operate on, because by paying something doesn't make it better. You have to address the root causes of the problem. For example, in the carbon market, there's this whole thing about trading and offsetting, and if yes, it all sounds very technical and people don't understand it, but if you go down to the basics of it, it basically says that you've privatized the atmosphere and now you're selling it off, and by doing this you're then lessening your pollution, which is crazy, because you're not actually, you're just making up an excuse so that you can emit more and then you feel better because you just pay for it. So this is really this is why market-based solutions are really not going to work, because they don't address the root cause of the problem, which is that natural resources have been depleted, forests have been taken down, and more importantly, industries are not cutting down on their emissions, corporations are not cutting down their emissions, and most importantly, the North is not cutting down on their emissions. Instead, they're just trying to find a way to supposedly offset it, but it doesn't cut to the real problem.
Exactly. And just to finish, Marilu, you're in the Climate Forum here, this parallel activity to the COP15 in the Bella Center. What are your main expectations of the social movement, social organization, the social alliances here? What do you expect of them?
Well,
of you.
Yes. I have a very... I've come here with a lot of hope, not for the negotiations, but actually for the people, because I think that real solutions will not come out of this market-based negotiations, because what's happening in the Bella Center is not a climate negotiation, it's a trade negotiation. And what's happening here in Klima Forum is the real climate talks. This is where people are talking about real solutions, people are offering up indigenous people, fisher folk, farmers. They've all come here with their own solutions. And I think this is where the real solution to the climate crisis will come from the unity of the people, from their debating, from their discussing the different proposals of different movements and sectors. And by their coming together, this is how we solve the climate crisis.
Okay, Mary Lou Mali from Focus on the Global South, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Real World News.